Hikatra Podcast Conversations, for the curious essential knowledge, simplified. Your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Hikatra AI. Welcome to the deep dive.
Today we're really undertaking an essential intellectual task.
We really are.
We're exploring how humans actually create and contest meaning. And we're doing that by diving deep into hermeneutics, guided by the really authoritative work of scholar Jen Zimmerman.
And if hermeneutics sounds like some dusty academic term, something you'd only hear in a philosophy class, just hang on a second.
Right.
We're going to show you that it's actually, well, it's simply the art and science of interpretation. It's the engine that structures everything you understand.
Everything from, you know, the tone in a colleague's email to the grand sweep of history.
Exactly.
And I think the core reason this matters so much, you know, right now.
More than ever.
Yeah, exactly. It's this, what Zimmerman calls a crisis of interpretation.
And you see it everywhere, right? Look around, this intense polarization, the cultural fragmentation. We're just drowning in information. And we struggle not just with facts, but with agreeing on what the facts, or even simple words, actually mean.
And that crisis pushes people to, well, to extremes. On one hand, you've got the rigid objectivists who insist there is one single fixed truth.
Which often just leads to dogmatism.
Of course. And on the other hand, you have the skeptical relativist who just says, well, everyone is biased, so I guess any interpretation is valid.
Which leads to total paralysis. You can't build anything on that.
And that's our mission for this deep dive. Zimmerman offers this crucial third way.
He shows how hermeneutics can give us a framework to find meaningful provisional truth. Knowledge that is rigorous, but also humble and, you know, open to being revised.
A way to move forward.
So let's talk a little bit about our guide here, Jen Zimmerman. He's just perfectly positioned for this.
He really is.
He's a distinguished scholar, a professor of humanities at Trinity Western University, and he holds the Canada Research Chair in Interpretation, Religion, and Culture.
And his background is in German literature and philosophy, but his work goes so much wider than that.
Absolutely. What makes his perspective so vital is his sheer breadth.
Right. He's not just analyzing texts in a vacuum. He's blending this intense philosophical rigor with theological insight and really sharp cultural criticism. This isn't just abstract theory for him.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
He positions hermeneutics as a practical, foundational life skill. This isn't just for historians or literary critics.
He's applying it to problems of human flourishing. I mean, how we disagree productively, how we can build mutual understanding.
He really bridges that gap, you know. Instead of getting lost in all the dense technical jargon, Zimmerman consistently frames these profound concepts.
Like the role of tradition or language?
Yes, and he frames them in terms of the real world. You know, interfaith dialogue, ethics, communication. He makes the complex feel accessible.
And makes the essential feel undeniable.
So the core purpose of his book, really, is to argue that this kind of hermeneutical thinking is essential for human literacy in the 21st century.
It's a guide for anyone who wants to move beyond just, you know, consuming information.
To actually understanding the messy, contested process of how meaning gets made.
And the book takes us on this incredible journey. It starts by tracing hermeneutics from its historical roots, where it was basically a practical toolkit, a techne.
Right, like a set of rules for very specific tasks, mainly interpreting the Bible or legal texts.
But then it blossoms. It expands from those simple rules into a comprehensive philosophy that ends up defining what it means to be human.
It's a huge shift from how do I read this book correctly to how do I live a meaningful life in a world that's just structured by language?
And along the way, he clarifies some of the biggest ideas in Western thought. You know, concepts that can seem a bit scary, like the hermeneutical circle.
Or the role of prejudice, which we'll get to.
Oh, yes. And the huge challenge of just trying to genuinely understand someone from a different culture or a different time.
The ambition here isn't just to teach us history. He's trying to give us the tools to engage with difference and complexity in a more intelligent way.
To avoid both absolute certainty and, you know, total despair about ever finding common ground.
Okay, so let's start with the foundation. Chapter 1, the universality of interpretation. Zimmerman says right away that interpretation is not something we do now and then.
No, it's constant. We are always interpreting.
Think about it. Every gesture, every tone of voice, a silence, a headline.
It's all filtered through a lens of what you expect and the context you're in. He's arguing against that really naive idea that meaning is just out there, transparent, waiting for us to just pick it up.
And that leads us right to the central engine of understanding, the hermeneutical circle.
This is such a key concept. It describes the necessary dynamic movement between the part and the whole.
Okay, so break that down.
Well, if you read a sentence, that's the part. You can only understand it if you grasp the argument of the whole paragraph.
You can't get the whole paragraph unless you understand the sentences.
Exactly. It sounds like a paradox, a vicious circle you can't escape.
But it's not a flaw. Schleiermacher showed it's just the structure of how we learn. You always start with a preliminary guess about the whole thing.
A hunch.
A hunch, yeah. And you test that hunch against the parts, which then changes your understanding of the whole, and you just keep going.
And you can see why these rules were so important historically. In the ancient and medieval world, this was all about sacred texts.
Right. The early church was wrestling with how to read the Bible. You had different schools of thought.
You had the Alexandrian approach, like Origen, who often looked for the allegorical meaning, the hidden spiritual truth.
And then the Antiochene school, which was much more focused on the literal historical meaning.
And the medieval period tried to synthesize this. It formalized it into the famous fourfold sense of scripture.
That system is amazing. It shows just how sophisticated they were. Any text could be read on four different levels.
The literal, so what actually happened? The allegorical, which is what you should believe. The moral, or tropological, which is how you should live. And the anagogical.
What to hope for.
Exactly. Take the city of Jerusalem. Literally, it's a place. Allegorically, it's the church. Morally, it's the human soul. And anagogically, it's the heavenly city. Interpretation was tied to tradition.
But this all just fractured during the Reformation and the Enlightenment.
A huge shift. The Reformation, especially Luther and sola scriptura, scripture alone, kind of rejected that whole institutional authority. It empowered the individual to find the plain, literal meaning for themselves.
And at the same time, you have the Enlightenment, with thinkers like Descartes pushing for a radical new method.
The goal was to get rid of all inherited assumptions, all prejudices, to get to a pure, objective truth based only on reason.
So we end up in this really tricky spot. We've thrown out tradition, but we're left with this, frankly, impossible goal of being totally bias-free.
And that is the tension that modern hermeneutics tries to solve. Which brings us to Schleiermacher in Chapter 3. He's really the father of the modern field.
And his big move was to universalize it. It stopped being just about the Bible or law.
It became the art of understanding any human expression. A poem, a letter, a conversation, anything.
And his goal was so ambitious, understanding the author better than he understood himself.
Right, the psychological element. The idea was you could reconstruct the author's whole thought process, even the unconscious bits, the cultural stuff they took for granted.
Then we get to Dilfe in Chapter 4, who really cements hermeneutics as the core method for the human sciences, the Geisteswissenschaften.
This is such a crucial distinction he makes. He argued you can't study human history or art the same way you study physics.
The natural sciences explain cause and effect. That's our clearing.
But the human sciences have to understand meaning, intentions, lived experience. That's Versailles.
So to understand a historical event, you can't just measure it. You have to immerse yourself in that world, in that perspective.
Yes. And that makes hermeneutics the rigorous tool for studying culture and history. Meaning is tied to time and place.
Okay, now for the really radical shift. Chapter 5, Martin Heidegger.
This is what's called the ontological turn. It's a huge pivot. Hermeneutics stops being just about epistemology, how we know things.
And it becomes about ontology, what we are.
Exactly. Interpretation is no longer just an activity we do sometimes. It is our fundamental mode of existence, our design.
That idea is both fascinating and a little bit terrifying.
To exist is to interpret. We are thrown into a world. And the act of being is the act of trying to make sense of it.
And we don't start from zero. Heidegger says we always see the world through a force structure.
Our pre-understanding, our background knowledge, our perspective, our expectations. It means total neutrality is an illusion.
Our past always frames our present. And that pre-understanding is the very thing the Enlightenment tried to throw away.
Which is where Gadamer, the great synthesizer in Chapter 6, comes in. He takes Heidegger's idea and makes this brilliant move.
The rehabilitation of prejudice and tradition.
He argues that the Enlightenment idea of prejudice as this dirty word was a mistake. Our traditions and assumptions aren't obstacles to be eliminated.
They're necessary prejudgments. They're the starting line.
You have to have them to even begin understanding. Mm. But, and this is the key, this doesn't just lead to subjectivism. It leads to his great concept. The fusion of horizons.
Okay, let's unpack that.
Understanding is a dialogue. It's an event. It's when your historical horizon your world, your prejudgments, merges with the horizon of the text or the other person.
So meaning isn't something you just passively extract?
Not at all. It emerges in that conversation. Every real act of understanding is co-creative. It changes you.
So if we pull back and look at the big themes, the first one is clearly what you just described, the productive power of prejudice.
Right. Our assumptions are what make understanding possible, but, and this is a huge but, only if we hold them lightly. Lightly enough to let them be corrected by an encounter with something or someone else.
The reflection there is just about intellectual humility, isn't it? Stop trying to get this impossible view from nowhere.
And instead, focus on knowing the view you do have and be ready to test it against others.
The second big theme is that interpretation is an ethical activity.
It has to be. Because it's a dialogue, it demands certain virtues. Things like interpretive charity.
Which means assuming the best, most coherent reading of what the other person is saying.
Yes, plus patience and a real openness to being changed by the encounter.
So it's not just a technical skill. It's about character formation.
Yeah.
Which leads to the third theme, a critique of methodological reductionism.
Zimmerman really argues against seeing understanding as just a step-by-step procedure that anyone can master, like a recipe.
Because genuine understanding involves creativity, empathy, things that go beyond a simple method.
If you only rely on method, you miss the chance for real discovery, for surprise, for transformation.
And the final theme, the one that makes this all so urgent, digital age challenges.
Yes. In chapter 7, he talks about how digital media echo chambers, hypertext, the sheer speed of it all doesn't make hermeneutics obsolete.
It makes it more necessary than ever.
Yeah.
We had to be so much more critical and aware of the context and bias of our sources.
This whole tradition has given us some really powerful, memorable lines that help ground these big ideas.
Let's maybe look at three key ideas that kind of summarize Zimmerman's whole position.
Okay. The first one comes right from Gadamer's insight about our starting point. Our prejudices are not obstacles to understanding, but the very conditions that make understanding possible, provided we hold them lightly enough to let them be corrected.
That's the call for self-awareness right there. You have to know your own baggage, but you can't use it as a shield. It has to be open to being adjusted.
The second key idea is about the structure of learning itself. The hermeneutical circle is not a vicious circularity, but the very structure of understanding itself.
It reminds you that learning is a process. It's this dynamic movement between the details and the big picture. You never mistake your first guess for the final truth.
Exactly. And the third, which really speaks to right now, digital technologies have not eliminated the need for hermeneutical wisdom, but have made such wisdom more urgent.
That perfectly sums up why we're even having this conversation. The flood of data requires more interpretive skill, not less, if we want to filter the signal from all that noise.
So how do we actually use all this? Let's talk applications.
Okay, application one, improving personal relationships. Take that idea of the fusion of horizons into a difficult conversation.
So instead of just trying to prove your point, you actively try to understand their horizon, their background, their assumptions.
You're asking, why does the world look this way to you? It completely changes the dynamic from a fight to a real dialogue.
Application two, media literacy. Using interpretive charity and the hermeneutical circle when you see some polarizing news story.
So before you jump to the absolute worst conclusion about a person or a group, just pause.
Look for other perspectives. Check the source's context. What's their framework? Just assume for a second that they might also be trying to make sense of the world.
And a third one, professional excellence. In fields like law or medicine, technical skill is not enough.
Yeah.
It's not at all. A great professional has to interpret the client's lived experience. That's Dilthey's concept, the human story behind the data.
They have to interpret the spirit of the law, not just the letter of it.
For me, the most profound takeaway from all of Zimmerman's work is just how essential this is as a life skill.
Mm.
Recognizing that we are always interpreting brings this huge responsibility, you know, to be ethical, to be charitable, but it also brings this massive opportunity for growth and transformation.
And the solution he offers for our modern crisis is so powerful. That tension between holding your convictions and still being radically open to others, it can be resolved.
Through dialogue.
Through dialogue. Hermeneutics gives us the framework for that critical but also humble engagement with difference. It's a guide for living well in a very complex, pluralistic world.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akacha Foundation.